Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears on WWGH 107.1 FM. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Thank you, man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, June the 29th, 2023, 16 minutes past the hour, 67 degrees and hazy skies here in Marion. And let me tell you, we have had 2 days of hazy skies, and it really isn't haze. It's smog coming from the fires that are burning in Canada, and it has just been unbelievable the last 2 days. By the way, this is the next to last day of June, next to last day ending June this year. July will kick off on Saturday. Last Thursday in the month of June, flying right by. But this smog has been something else. It's not as bad this morning as it was yesterday. I'll tell you how bad it was yesterday, because as many of you know, I went to the studio yesterday morning, which I don't normally do on Wednesday morning, to conduct an interview, and I'm going to get to that later on in the program this morning. But when I pulled out of my house at about 7 a.m. yesterday, I thought it was foggy outside. I really thought that it was just fog. That's what it looked like. It was kind of setting on the fields out there, and it was kind of hard to see. And not till I left the radio station yesterday morning, a little after 10 o'clock, did I realize that it was not smog, that it was all this air pollution coming in from Canada. And it's just horrible. And it's fascinating in a way, because yesterday I ran into somebody who's very interested in the weather, and of course he pulled out his phone and pulled out his app, and he's showing me that really there are air quality advisories for everybody pretty well in the Midwest going up the East Coast. And it's horrible. And you know, I don't really know. This is one of those things where I don't know if this will cause lung damage. A lot of people are saying that. I don't know how asthmatics are doing in this weather. I don't know how people with allergies are doing. I know some businesses who have people who work outside are telling them you have to wear a mask outside, or if you're outside, only stay out there 5 to 10 minutes. You know, these are corporate decisions that are being made at this point based upon the air quality guidelines that they are getting. So I'm just fascinated by this whole thing, to be honest with you, and it's just getting worse and worse. When I looked at the weather report the other day, it showed that Wednesday and Thursday were going to be the clear days. Now, to be honest with you, I haven't looked at the weather since then, so I don't know what the weather's looking like for tomorrow, but it's different. Let's put it that way. It's been a different June as we're getting ready to close it out tomorrow, last day of June. Now, I do want to let everybody know the Marion County Fair is coming up July the 3rd through the 8th, 6 days, 6 nights. It's the 173rd Marion County Fair. Senior Citizens and Canned Food Day is Monday. Veterans Day is Friday. Kids Day is Wednesday. Harness racing will take place Monday and Tuesday at 11 a.m. Tough Truck Monday at 7:30 p.m. Fireworks July 4th Tuesday at 10 p.m. Truck pull Wednesday the 5th at 7:30 p.m. Tractor pull Thursday the 6th at 7:30 p.m. Rodeo Friday the 7th at 7:30 p.m. And the demo derby, which is always a big draw, Saturday the 8th at 6:30 p.m. And I do want to let everybody know that we will be at the Marion County Fair, broadcasting live every day. And I think I've said this every day but yesterday, but we will not be doing the morning show from the fair because where we will be located, the building does not open until 9 o'clock. So there's no way we could do the morning show from there. And also, there's not a lot of people stirring at the fair between 8 and 10 in the morning to get interviews with the politicians and the kids showing their animals. So we will be at the fair next week, but I don't know the times yet. Now, what will probably happen is, if you listen to this show in the morning, that day I will tell you what time we are going to be at the fair, and you can stop by. I'm sure we're going to do prize giveaways. We're going to have a lot of people at the fair who are a part of this station. Pastor Craig will be there. I do know that. I think pretty much every day. I ran into Matt Morgan last night. We were doing a television taping. Matt, who's with the show on Friday, I think is going to come over quite a bit next week. Sean, the same thing. He'll be there a few days next week. I did talk to Linda yesterday. I think she's going to try to make it over a couple days. Plus, we have some guests lined up for the Marion County Fair that I don't think you'll want to miss. And we'll have prize giveaways. And like I say, interview anybody who comes around. But as I've said almost continually since we made this announcement that we're going to be at the Marion County Fair, there's just going to be trouble there. Because every year at the Marion County Fair, there's always been trouble. Now, I have never caused any trouble at the Marion County Fair that I can ever remember. But one of the problems with the fair is you do run into everybody you know. And sometimes you run into people you don't want to run into. And for some reason, that seems to happen, and it causes anger. Now, I remember a few years ago, I was not there for this event, and I'm not going to name names, but I did hear from people who saw it, that two people ran into each other. I think it was an argument over music, but again, this is all allegedly because I was not there. Got into a little bit of a scuttle at that time. I think people were ejected from the fair. So those are the type of things that always happen at the fair that put a little bit of a sully. They put a little bit of a jinx on the fair. Now, that's why I'm just telling you front up, right here in the beginning, that there'll be trouble at the fair. There simply will be trouble at the fair. But I don't think I'll be involved in any trouble at the fair, but it certainly could happen. So I guess that's how that story goes. 740-751-4038 is the number if you'd like to call in, have a conversation about anything. I'm always open to that. I love to talk to you out there. And we'll also, I forgot, of all the people I was mentioning we'll have at the Marion County Fair, we are going to have somebody with us, I think multiple days, although we have not negotiated this yet, that is going to be, let's see here. How should I say this? This person, I guess we're going to say expert in the Marion County Fair, in that they showed animals at the fair. Their kids showed animals at the fair. So I think a couple, 3 days next week, whatever's available, depending on the times we're there, this person will be there and will certainly know more information about these animals and these things going on than I do because I never did any of that. I never showed animals. I never really partook in any of that. I did not go to a county school. So, I mean, I've been around people who showed animals, and I certainly have done coverage from the fair for 9 years now. But, okay, well, this is funny, kicking off the show here this morning, because the person who's going to come over and do this, expertise, you know, hopefully a couple, 3 days next. Originally, we talked about 3 days, but, you know, schedules are schedules, is saying, I don't even know what times. Now, I don't know the times yet either because the person who is supporting our coverage of the fair next week has – they're getting back with me. As a matter of fact, I just got an email from them this morning. So I will know more on the times very soon But we will make it accommodatable for the person who is coming over, because I actually think this is one of those things where this person will be a help. And we'll work out the times. It'll be a lot of fun, trust me. And she's out there listening. And I'm the only reason I'm not saying her name this morning is that because we have not hammered down the times, you know, I don't want to hang that around her neck. But anyway, that'll be the fair. So Sean will be there, Matt will be there, Pastor Craig will be there, our friend here who's going to be expertise in the old animal department will be there, and Matt, did I say Matt? Yeah, Matt will be there. The whole kit and caboodle is what it'll be coming up at the Marion County Fair, basically right around the corner. All right, go ahead, caller.
Yeah, are you aware there is a bulletin out for the fair this year? The Hatfields and McCoys will not be allowed.
You know what? This is our old friend Terry Klein, who we haven't heard from in a while. But Terry, now tell the truth. Am I lying when I say there's going to be trouble at the fair? There always is.
Well, there's the potential. I don't think you should necessarily take the big-time wrestling approach saying there will be. There's the potential. You know, some people just don't know how to behave in public in that. But hopefully it'll go off without any altercations whatsoever.
Oh, and I just want to clarify when I say that, I've never had trouble at the fair. I don't remember ever a bad moment. I'm just saying there have been altercations over the years, and I think it's because a lot of people go to the fair, and they're there for long periods of time, and you run into people who you don't normally see. And when that happens, for some reason, I don't know if it's the heat or whatever it is, but it causes the potential for discord.
Well, it's like, you know, you've had a major argument with somebody 20 years ago. You see him again, and that's all you remember is that altercation. There's been no mellowing during that period of not seeing that individual, and it all just pops up again. So some people know how to control it. Some people don't.
Well,
that's why we have a police force to keep the peace.
Right, and what I would say to people is smooth things over, because you don't want to go to the fair and have a big blow-up. Now, we have had fun events at the fair, funny events, I should say. There have been moments. I know we covered the harness racing one year, and it rained, which was kind of difficult when you're trying to do a broadcast. So things like that have happened. But I, you know, with us, I don't think there's going to be any trouble, but just seems like I was trying to think last year. Something happened last year, because we were at the fair last year, and I don't remember exactly what it was, but they were telling people to move, and there just always is something like that, unfortunately.
Well, some people don't understand public relations.
You know, well, speaking of dust-ups, because I know that you have had a complaint to get off your chest recently in regard to some media here in Marion.
Well, there's that, but then something from the media, the Marion Star.
Go ahead.
The Marion Star has sent letters out to all subscribers. And the bottom line is, guess what? Your newspaper will be delivered at the end of the driveway rather than your door, effective July 12th. Now, this presents serious problems with my mom is 91, limited mobility, coming down off the porch. Where will her paper be? She doesn't have a driveway. Are they going to throw it in the neighbor's driveway? And then she'll have to come down off the porch, which is approximately 8-10 steps to get to ground level, open up the gate, walk around to the other side of the house, to the driveway of the neighbor on either side. Then, as someone on Facebook pointed out, because of all of the political literature and that is dispersed during campaigns, ending up in people's front yards, etc. So we have an ordinance now. The Marion Star, in all their finite, omniscient wisdom, is over something. And I'm going to give the law director a call today and just really make sure that it is illegal to throw things in somebody's driveway or in their front lawn, even if it is the Marion paper. But it's outrageous the amount of money it costs to subscribe to that wonderful Gannett publication. That's more expensive than some of the magazines that people can subscribe to.
Now, what do they do now that they're not throwing it at the end of the driveway? How is the paper delivered now?
Well, if you're lucky, you get it. That's one thing, okay? And it's tossed. My mom has been fortunate enough that I've called and yelled at them enough that it's delivered to the porch so she can open up the door and retrieve it. So, you know, I used to deliver papers with friends that had paper routes. We would put it in the magazine carriers underneath the mailboxes or make sure it was on the porch. So, I don't know, I know a lot of people, it's a hit or miss. They either get the paper or they don't. My mom subscribes to the Daily Chief Union in Upper Sandusky, and that's mailed, and she gets it every day. And I don't understand what the problem is with the Marion Star, Gannett, USA Today.
You know, I don't know. It's an interesting thing because I don't even know if there is such a thing as paper boys anymore. And I think one of the problems that has arisen, because we've heard of these complaints before, people calling in saying it's in the bushes or it doesn't come certain days or they pile up and then they deliver three at a time, I think is people are delivering them in their cars, which didn't used to be the case a lot of times, certainly in residential neighborhoods, and I think they're just throwing them out the window.
Yep, they're just, they'll get a, you know, quite frankly, we are hitting the bottom of the barrel when it comes to employees. It's difficult to get good employees, people that have a work ethic and take pride in their work. You know, if you're a garbage man and you aspire to be a garbage man, wonderful. Be the best you can. But don't just be out on any job going through the motions just to collect a check. You're not doing anybody a favor, not even yourself, because you'll end up getting fired eventually for being lazy.
Now, with the increase in the cost of the paper over the years, the idea that they don't deliver on Saturdays at all anymore, this change in how they're going to deliver, and also just, and this is no fault of the reporters, but I believe they're down to one reporter now, Andrew here locally, the amount of
Andrew, Andrew Carter's doing a Herculean job, you know?
Right.
Really.
Right. But it is interesting. Have you found interesting, and I'm not saying these stories on Jim Thorpe or Marilyn Meskey are bad stories at all, and I certainly think they should be in the newspaper, but it's interesting to me that they're on the front page above the fold. So that's what you see, because they are still sold in grocery stores, department stores, gas stations. That's what you see. And I always thought you put news on the front page of the paper above the fold because that's what people want to read. And it's interesting to me that the Star in the last 6 months or so has really tended toward history stories.
Well, rumor has it. I can't remember the British publication that would have a topless woman on the front page, but rumor has it that the Marion Star is going to get a topless woman on the front page just to increase sales.
A topless woman.
Yeah. So, you know, sex sells. Hey. Might as well pander to the basic, you know, basis instincts.
Do you even think at this point that a topless woman would help the Marion Star?
Well, depends on who they put on now.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's an interesting thing, because my contention with the Marion Star, because a lot of newspapers have clearly, in towns of this size, all went digital. And one of the reasons I think the Marion Star has not went all digital, even though the shape they're in, obviously, is because it does have a tie to President Harding. And people in this town, even though there's nobody left who lived in Harding's era, I think there is a very close connection there to a president of the United States, and we've only had 46 presidents. And I think they feel that if the paper copy is gone, there would be a terrible backlash because of the lineage of it.
I don't know. I don't think they're that sentimental, you know? It's corporate America. It's USA Today. It's Gannett. It's squeeze as much juice out of that lemon as you can. And that's all they care about, the bottom line.
Do you think they're turning a profit at this point?
Well, they have to be. Otherwise, you know, let's see what the bonuses are. The people way up in the nosebleed section of the corporate ladder. Gee whiz. And look at all of the advertising that's in there. You compare the Columbus Dispatch with the Marion paper, it's damn near a carbon copy.
Well, what's interesting to me is when you're a part of these conglomerates, because that's what eventually happened to Marion Radio, WMRN, which was around for
iHeartMedia.
Right.
Look what happened to iHeartMedia.
Right. But I don't think if you would have ever looked at the books, even when there were people working in the building, I don't think they were turning a profit. Because if they were, I don't think they would have laid everybody off except one or two people just to keep the lights in the building on and automated everything if the profit was being made. But when you're a part of these big corporations, they look at certain divisions and say, well, we're losing money over there, but we're able to put national ad space out there, and that makes our national advertiser happy, so we'll limp that along a little longer. Because if they were making money, they would be hiring more people and keeping more people. And the Marion Star, certainly, in the last 2 years, they've closed their office. They've eliminated one of the two reporters. They've always had two reporters, at least the last 10 years or so. Now they're down to one. They certainly don't care about getting the news out in a timely fashion in the paper copy. It's on a two-day delay, even election coverage. So I don't know if it's being kept alive because it's making a profit or not.
They will do whatever they need to do to make a profit. And if it's one person running the engine, hey, so much the better. That's more profit. That's less overhead. That's cutting the cost and still maintaining or growing profits.
Clearly over the years, when it comes to cost of the paper, when it comes to circulation, when it comes to reporting the news, being on a two-day delay, people complain, but I don't think they care. Because it certainly doesn't change what they're doing. Do you think in the end that if enough people revolt around this, or they're caught by a city law, that they are going to just say, well, you know what? We're not going to deliver the paper, period.
That's a possibility. Who knows? But the fact of the matter is, it is the people of the community that had made the Marion Star a going concern. There's no appreciation of the people who support the paper. And it's a slap in their face to keep charging more and you keep getting less. Ridiculous.
Well, you know what's fascinated me is there will be stories now, and this never used to happen, there will be stories now in the Marion Star And I will read them, of course, for prep for this show, or just to be in tune with what's going on in the city. And I'll read them, and I'll say to somebody, and I'm talking about high politicians in this town, as well as just regular citizens, I will say, hey, did you see that in the Marion Star? Because I think, well, of course they did. And they have no recollect of the Marion Star. They have no recollect of reading anything in there. And a matter of fact, the Marion Star, as of late, has been criticized for stories they're reporting not quite being as accurate as they could be. And I think that's awful interesting, because I've never heard that type of complaining before.
Well, it's kind of like being a short order cook at a truck stop. You get slammed with 50 people wanting to eat now, and you only have one cook, things are going to look ugly. So, you know, here's another problem I have with the wonderful Marion Star and an editor who held herself out to being here in Marion when I found out she was lying to me. I submitted a letter, and they said, well, we can't do that. You're calling people names. You need to tone it down. You might make people cry. Well, here's what the letter is. We can never make Marion better as long as we keep mental midgets in office. There are too many unqualified people who get paid to learn on the job at the expense of you, the taxpayer. The sheer ignorance of those who are trying to kill the effort of Marion becoming a charter city illustrates they are lazy, worthless people just collecting a check courtesy of you, the taxpayer. Being a statutory city means we, Marion, are dominated by legislation from the state's legislature without true representation. Yes, we have a representative, but does that representative know Marion intimately? Does that representative live in Marion? Does that representative pay city taxes? Becoming a charter city would allow us to legislate specifically for us, customized legislation tailored specifically for Marion. We now continue to receive one-size-fits-all legislation from Columbus. Shame on those who want to kill Marion's opportunity to be free of one-size-fits-all legislation. Yes, for Marion to become a charter city, it would take a lot of work. This just goes to show, illustrates the laziness and worthlessness of those who want to shoot it down.
Now, that's interesting. Two things come to mind here. Number one, clearly this is why we're the number one news source in town, because we didn't censor you reading that. So there you go. And number two is that you did call some names in there, but now are you blanketing? Because you didn't say any specific names.
I didn't call anyone names.
What, mental midgets?
I collectively called to the match the governing body, right, not the individual.
Well, that's my question. Because clearly...
So the governing body.
Well, no,
that's
why
we fought the Revolutionary War.
Well, no,
right?
It's just a question. Like I was saying, you called some names in there, but not to specific people. You referred to the government as a whole, but clearly one person who is no longer here as of recent times, who really wanted the charter city, is part of that government, and there are people who do support it on that government. So clearly the entire governing body is not who you're referring to. I guess I'm asking you, since you wrote the letter, who are you referring to when you make those statements? Who's trying to squash it?
Well, you asked two questions. The people I'm referring to they are the ones, they know who they are.
So they would have to read that and know who they are. So my back to the editor, who's not in Marion, but said they were in Marion. So what was the main problem? That you were calling the government names?
I'm pointing out an observation. Hopefully, this letter, would it have been published, is pretty much a call to action. People, get up and vote. Don't now, be hornswoggled by these not-ready-for-primetime politicians who go to a city council meeting and take care of business that affects all the taxpayers, and they don't give proper time and thought to the legislation. They just vote.
No.
And that's it. No. City council rarely exceeds a half an hour. And there's serious legislation to be considered.
Now, I only know what I know, because we have covered, actually, this Charter City issue pretty closely here on this station, because of the person who introduced it, former Councilman Brett Cornelius, actually, for many years, did a show on this station, a weekly show, 3 or 4 years before he got into politics. And now he has left town, took a job pastoring in Illinois, so he's not even in Marion anymore on city council, but...
I think legally he still is until there's a replacement.
Until there's a replacement, yeah. But I don't think he's attending meetings anymore.
I don't know if they've even gotten an interim replacement yet.
But what I learned as time went on, because we had Pastor Cornelius on, Councilman Cornelius, when this was all going on. We had the mayor on, who was doing his monthly visits. And what they said, and the interviews are there in the archive if people would like to hear them, it was Mr. Cornelius who was not meeting the deadlines when it came to Charter City for having things ready to go for a vote. And I think he even acknowledged that. And I believe also Councilman Jason Schauber, a fellow Republican, appeared on this show to talk about it at one point and said he would have to vote against it, not because he was against charter cities, but because they never presented anything as they said they were going to, giving a reasoning as to why. And the mayor has said very similar things, that he's not against it, that he just didn't feel they knew how to get it to council, get the vote there, and where they could even vote on it to put it on the ballot, and it just wasn't being handled properly. And I think Brett acknowledged that, because they just missed the deadline for getting it on the ballot by a few days because they couldn't get the votes. They couldn't, and I don't think they presented it early. They didn't have the readings, I think is what it was back at that time.
Yeah, well, and it just goes to the point that I made in this letter. We need qualified people to be on our city council. My proposal, it'll be a miracle, and probably you'll see the second coming of Christ before my plan would ever be approved. Regardless of parties, throw out the Democrats, throw out the Republicans. Anybody seeking public office should have to take a course to understand what public administration is pertaining to a city council. How do you get legislation? How do you get a new ordinance? All of the mechanics of it before they're allowed to run for office and just be a vote, not knowing what they're doing because Party A wants you on their team to oppose Party B and vice versa. So, or vice versa, the proper way to say it. At any rate, it should be continuing education. We should build up a pool of people who have the minimum requirements that hopefully they'll retain that knowledge, and once they get in to that public office, there's continuing education so that we have a better informed representative from whichever ward, whichever district in Ohio, Senate seat in Ohio, so on and so forth. Continuing education for doctors, attorneys, etc.
I want to talk about the big event banner campaign coming up on Saturday, but before we do that, quickly. Before we do that, I just want to say, in regard to this issue that we're talking about now, our mayor only has 6 months left after 16 years. You've been on this station and have been critical of him at times. But we're going to have a new mayor, regardless. One of two men, or possibly the independent candidate, who none of which have, I believe, ever held city elected office at this point. Bill Collins, Glenn Coble. What do you make of this? Because what you're talking about is experience in these positions, knowing what you're doing. And this is the first time in over 50 years, possibly more than that, that none of the candidates running for mayor, the top office in the city, have ever served in city elected government, never been on council, never done any of those positions.
Exactly. That's what I'm talking about. I think it's a shame. It's doing a disservice. We need people. That's why I'm a firm believer we need a city manager. If we can get a city charter, which would be a major, major accomplishment. I mean, you look at Columbus, there's a city charter. But if we get a city charter, then we can write our own regulations, our own rules. Then get a city manager, somebody who's just received their master's in public administration. Hire them for 5 years. Let them know, 5 years, we're going to get somebody new to turn them over with fresh new ideologies and things that are in public administration so that the taxpayers' dollars go further and are more well spent.
Well, do you have a favorite at this point in the mayoral race? Not much going on with that.
No, there's, you know, either one better than the other. I would slightly say Glenn Coble. I don't think Glenn has been on the taxpayers' payroll as much as what Collins has. I don't think Collins, I would say Coble by a hair, you know, or if we're talking about a race, by a nose. But I have a funny feeling it'll probably be Collins because he's had a bigger presence at this point.
It's going to be interesting in just a few months. We've got about 7 minutes left, and I know this is
about the banners.
Yes, coming up Saturday, July the 1st. Tell us, because we've had some questions about this, what's going on, what should people do, and how did this come about?
Oh, how did it come about? It came about from the banner campaign that was spearheaded by Vietnam Veterans of America, Chapter 1117, Randall Drosba, who headed that up. I was helping with their campaign. We did a promotional video, which surprised me. It won an award at the Houston International Film Festival. And Randy and I were talking, and I said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if we could get people lined up elbow to elbow like they do for the Marion Popcorn Parade, stand underneath the banners, honor these veterans, past, present, and future. Stand there, commit for 1 hour, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., stand there and sacrifice 1 hour to honor all of these people who made it possible to enjoy the freedoms we have in the United States of America. So just 1 hour, honor them.
So nothing people need to do except go to the banner of which the person, and some of these people are still alive, Go to the banner, stand under it for 1 hour on Saturday. What is the hour that's been designated?
11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m.
Okay.
And I would suggest there's Cecil Denton out in front of the Wendy's on Mount Vernon Avenue. He's 97. Go out there. I'm sure he'll be standing there. I caught him there for Memorial Weekend. There's also Jack Graham. He's across on McKinley Park Boulevard, across from Veterans Memorial or Veterans Memorial Park. He next month, July, he will be, I think, 99. And he was still there, I think, when you went to Harding, wasn't he, Jack Graham?
I believe so.
Yeah. So those are two guys that I'm aware of that are World War II veterans. But put up a picnic. Have a picnic there. Bring a table, chairs, get your neighbors. Have some wine and cheese. Wave a flag. Honor them. Sacrifice 1 hour for those who have sacrificed to eternity.
So this is to give the veterans of all wars, past and present, who are with us and no longer with us, recognition. It's an hour to honor them.
To show the appreciation of their sacrifices.
Now, is it hard to get word out about an event like this?
Terribly hard.
Yeah, because there's so much going on now. Social media and so on and so forth, that everything's so fragmented.
Yep, everything is fragmented. That's why Andrew Carter has done an excellent job with the Marion Star. I'm to the point of feeling embarrassed that I've shown up on the front page of the paper so often, but it's for the veterans. It's for the banner campaign in that, which I'm just a small footnote in all of that. And with Facebook, getting Facebook, and then on top of that, the recognition of our effort at the Houston International Film Festival. So the word is getting out there. Maybe one day we'll have people lined up just like they do for the popcorn parade, you know?
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Wouldn't that be... I mean, that speaks volumes about our community to prospective businesses to locate in Marion or expand in Marion. It says, hey, we're a community of patriots. We appreciate our veterans.
And again, we only have about 90 seconds left. That's this Saturday, July the 1st, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., find the banner of the veteran who you are acquainted with, and just
or any veteran. You've got a banner in your front yard. You don't know who they are.
Go outside.
The banner.
Yeah.
Yes.
Go outside from 11:30 to 12:30, and just enjoy yourself for an hour, celebrating that veteran and what they did. And again, what's the date the papers are going to be thrown in the driveway?
The Marion Star is supposed to be delivered at the end of the driveway, effective July 12th.
July 12th, right around the corner. Well, Terry, we're under a minute here. Thanks for calling in. Good to hear from you. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now.
Terry Klein calling in. The big event for the veterans is coming up this Saturday, July the 1st, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 p.m., find a banner. Now, if you know some of these people, you'll probably go to that banner. But you can go to any banner from 11:30 to 12:30 and just stand under it, support the veterans, have lunch, have a good time with your friends and family, take a picnic, whatever you'd like to do this Saturday, July 1st, 11:30 to 12:30. We'll be back in about 15 minutes with you on the toll-free line. Don't you dare go
anywhere.
You're
listening to WWGH Radio LP, Marion, Ohio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place. From legendary talk show host, actor, broadcaster, and comedian Charles Grodin.
You know what I'm impressed by? You think I would know this, how you have all this audio.
Well, you're impressed by this.
Well, what do you do, just... tape the shows as they go. But you're going back 10 years now, or maybe longer in certain cases.
Charles, when you were on, I made sure to tape it.